welcome to worship for those of you who are here in person as well as those joining us online. And I'd like to extend a special welcome if there's anyone here with us today who's coming here for the first time. It is our prayer that all of you, including first-timers, will enjoy and experience God's presence as we come together to worship our God and hear from His Word. We are a community of faith here at The Way Woodstock who are committed to sharing in hope, living with purpose for the sake of others. I want to thank all of you who prayed for us while Jim and I were gone on our trip. The Irish countryside is beautiful, serene, and peaceful. I couldn't help but think that it must have been what is portrayed in the 23rd Psalm. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. However, today I join Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz in proclaiming, "There is no place like home." While it was good, and we all need time to get away, and it's always good to experience different communities, it's always also a very beautiful thing to be able to gather together with our known family of faith to worship God together. Today is the sixth day, the sixth Sunday of our current series, The Good and Beautiful Community, where we've been looking at the different characteristics of what community as God created it to be looks like. God did indeed create us for relationship with Himself and with one another, and we were created to live interdependently with one another. That means that we depend on one another, not just on ourselves. Now, as Christians, we learn, we were created to learn and grow in the likeness of our Savior as we live in relationship with one another. Sometimes that's not so easy. Sometimes it's a little harder than other times. So far, we've seen that the good and beautiful community of God, as God created it to be, though, is first off a peculiar community. As we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, we realize and we become different from the world around us. We value different things and we react differently to things. We also realize that it's a hopeful community that we're a part of. We have a living hope, Jesus, who's with us at all times, providing for our needs as we turn to Him, growing us into His image. It's a serving community focused on meeting the needs of others just as Jesus did. This community is also a Christ-centered community where Jesus is Lord and we seek to live as true disciples following in His footsteps. And it also is a reconciling community through Christ's sacrifice on the cross and our belief in Him as the Son of God. We are reconciled to God. God no longer deals with us on the basis of our sins, but now He deals with us on the basis of our faith. As we grow in our faith, God's healing mercies take place in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. Today, we're going to be looking at another characteristic of this good and beautiful community that God is creating amongst us. It is an encouraging community. I'm going to be sharing two different scriptures with you this morning as we look at what it means to be an encouraging community. First, if you'll turn with me to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 19 to 25. Hear the word of God. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, if you'll turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to be reading from chapter 5, verses 11 to 24. Hear the word of God. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard, in love, because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Dear most gracious God, we thank you, Lord, that you are indeed available to us when we make ourselves available to you. So we come today, Lord, we're available, we're here. Speak to each and every one of us, Lord. Speak to our hearts, our minds. Give us the message that you would have for us individually and collectively this day. And it is in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit we pray. Amen. Now, before we get to looking at today's scriptures, I want to share with you how the dictionary, Merriam-Webster Dictionary, defines encouragement. To encourage is to inspire with courage, spirit, or hope. To attempt to persuade, to spur on, or to help or give patronage to. That's the worldly definition of encouragement. But biblical encouragement is a little bit different than what we typically think of. What we might typically think of when we think about encouragement. Biblical encouragement is often linked to hope and trust in God, that he does indeed have a plan, and a plan for our lives. And this encouragement becomes a source of strength during those times of trials and tribulations which we all face in this world. Biblical encouragement is not focused on what a person is capable of within themselves, but it's focused on what the Spirit is doing in them. Biblical encouragement also reminds us that when we are sorrowful, that the man of sorrows knows and hears our pain. Biblical encouragement goes beyond pure motivation and or positivity. It's a concept that's deeply rooted in the pages of Scripture and it is connected to our growth in Christ. And biblical encouragement is often given to those who are sorrowful, fearful, persecuted, or experiencing any form of weakness, despair, or suffering. Now, as we see in our scripture from the book of Hebrews, our encouragement comes directly from the confidence we place in Jesus and what He has made possible for us. We can now enter into God's very presence. He's here now with us. We are entering into His presence when we go to Him in prayer. We are entering into His presence when we come to worship. We can enter into His presence knowing confidently that He no longer sees our sin, but He sees us as His treasured possession. Precious. Precious. We have been made holy by the blood of Jesus, but sometimes our behavior doesn't match our identity. Can anybody identify with that one? I know I can. Yeah. We are holy yet broken. Holy yet broken. Broken yet holy. We're broken yet able to carry the presence and the power of Christ. That's pretty awesome. We are in the process of learning how to be what we really already are. Holy. Set apart. For God. As we gather together in community. It's only as we gather together as active participants, not religious consumers. We've heard a little bit about that during this series, haven't we? That real transformation can take place. When we meet as active participants in worship, God can transform us. Pastor Andy shared with me when we got back from Ireland, he shared with me how many of you have already signed up for small groups. And I am so excited because I love to see more people taking advantage of the opportunity to grow through participation in small groups. Some of my greatest memories of growth in Christ have happened in those places where I've gathered together with other seekers who were wanting to know God more dearly and to walk with Him more closely. And it's awesome. So I am excited that so many of you are stepping forth. It's the very thing that was described in verses 24 and 25 of our Hebrew scripture. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Folks, Jesus is coming back. We need to be ready. I love the way that James Bryant Smith describes community in this book that we've been basing our sermon series on. He describes it this way. The community, our church, exists to shape and guide my soul. The community has a right to expect certain behavior from me and can provide the encouragement and accountability I need. He goes on to say, transformation into Christ's likeness has been the aim and responsibility of the church from its very beginning. But what exactly does it look like to encourage one another in our faith? I think that Paul described it beautifully in that 1 Thessalonians scripture. First off, we're to encourage one another and build one another up. We do this by reminding one another of who we are, who we can be, and by holding one another accountable. Now, sometimes we don't like that accountability word, do we? But we all need it because we're all in process. We're all growing. 1 Thessalonians goes on and it says that we're to acknowledge those who work among us, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in highest regard in love because of their work. We honor those who love us enough to hold us accountable, to look closely at our actions and our motivations. James Bryant Smith puts it this way: we need a fellow Christ follower who is absolutely convinced that we are great and can do great things. 1 Thessalonians continues and it says, let us live in peace with one another. So we seek to be respectful and kind even in the midst of disagreement or conflict. We seek to find resolution. We're to warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encouragement includes admonition. To admonish someone is to love them enough to warn them, to watch out for them, and to offer guidance to them. We never condemn, though. We simply speak the truth in love. Again, the Apostle Paul reminds us in Colossians 3:16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. We're also to encourage the disheartened, to help those who are weak, and to be patient with everyone. Everyone. We're to demonstrate compassion and help others to know that they're never alone, ever. And we're also to make sure that we don't repay evil with evil, wrong with wrong, but we're always to strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. We allow God to administer justice as we respond to circumstances from a place of mercy, grace, and truth in love, accountability. Then we're instructed, rejoice always, pray continuously, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. What this is saying to us is regardless of our circumstances, regardless of what we're going through, we continue to draw close to God as we rejoice in our salvation, in what He has already done, as we pray, and as we acknowledge the ways that we've already been blessed. And then we're not to quench the Spirit, and not treat prophecies with contempt, but to test them all, to hold on to what's good, and then reject any kind of evil. We seek to hear the voice of God in all the various ways that He speaks to our hearts. We test prophecies. When someone gives us a word of prophecy, we test it against the word of God, and we hold on to the good while we reject what's evil. And I just love the way that Paul ends this section of Scripture with a reminder for all of us. It is a reminder. We do our part by being available, and God does what only God can do. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Are you ready, church? Are you ready to be part of a community and make this commitment to your own spiritual growth and to service to others? Are you ready to be part of a community that's willing to challenge you to become who you already are, one in whom Christ dwells and delights, a light to the world, salt to the earth, the aroma of Christ to a dying world? Are you ready to enter into some type of accountability in order to grow in the likeness of Jesus? Are you ready to watch over one another in love, offering both comfort and warning, so that we might all live a life worthy of our calling? Many of you are ready, and you've already made this commitment. Some of you are still standing on the sidelines, not quite sure about this level of commitment. Wherever you are is where you are. God won't ever give up on you. If you aren't quite ready yet, know that God is faithful. Wherever you are, whenever you're ready, he will do it. Now, all of you have taken the first step because you're here today. You've entered into the presence of God in worship. Maybe that next step for you is to join a small group. I'll join Sutton in pushing small groups. Maybe the next step is to find an accountability friend, one who can encourage you and watch over you in love, one that can challenge you sometimes. This needs to be someone that you feel safe with, someone that you feel open, that you can open your heart with and discuss the state of your soul with, someone who will listen as you answer the following questions. How is your soul today? In what ways do you need to be encouraged right now? What, if anything, is holding you back from living more fully for God? Those are important questions. They're deep questions. Before I close, I'd like to share an experience that Jim and I had when we were in Ireland. It actually was last Sunday. And it relates to this idea of encouragement. We left our ship to go to the little village of Kinsale, Ireland. The drive there was beautiful, with those gorgeous green fields enclosed by stone walls where the sheep were grazing. Remember the 23rd Psalm fields that I mentioned earlier? It was so beautiful. We arrived in Kinsale at 10:45. And as we walked from the bus down into the little village, we passed the visitor center, and right directly across from the visitor center was a Methodist church. Kinsale Methodist Church. We found out later that both Charles and John Wesley had preached in Kinsale, and the first Methodist church that was built shortly after John Wesley had visited in 1795. Their service was just getting ready to start. Jim and I looked at each other and decided that, we probably needed to go in. So we were warmly welcomed when we went in. I went to the restroom, and while I was in the restroom, Jim talked with Billy, who was the gentleman who had welcomed us so warmly. And, of course, he told Billy that I was an associate minister at our home church in the United States of America. When I returned, a few more people had gathered along with their pastor, Reverend Andrew Robinson, who served as a circuit minister to 5 churches. I'm not sure how that worked. Whew, I can't even imagine. But this little historic church reminded me so much of Woodstock United Methodist Church when I first arrived here. This is a picture of the church. There were about 12 people in attendance, but when we sang, you would have thought it was a much larger crowd. Reverend Robinson introduced and welcomed us to worship, and he asked if after he gave the message, if I would assist him in serving Holy Communion. His message was one of encouragement based on the book of James to not only be hearers of the word, but also to allow God to transform our hearts that we might be doers of the word so that others might see the goodness of God through our lives. I was honored to serve communion with him in that small, faithful group of Christ followers. And at the end of the service, as he was preparing to give the benediction, he asked if I would be willing to come forward and say a prayer over their little church, and that he then, in turn, would pray for our church. It was a very holy time. While I was over 4,000 miles away from my home church, I was still at home with the family of God. And I had the opportunity through prayer to encourage them to hold fast and to continue to be the light in the darkness of our world. And then Reverend Robinson said a beautiful prayer, blessing this church, the way Woodstock. I would say that this was a beautiful example of one community of faith offering encouragement to another community of faith to live out our calling as followers of Jesus. May we all offer such encouragement to one another that through our witness, this world will be a better place where God is glorified in all that we think, say, and do. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Dear most gracious God, we thank you, Lord, that you are always with us and that you are always, you love us just as you are, but Lord, you just want so much. Your desire is to transform our lives into living examples of Jesus in our world, that others may come to know you and be blessed by your presence in their lives. So Lord, let us take this message to heart that we will be every day of our life, not just on Sundays when we come here, but every day of our life, that we will realize we are living in your presence and that you are with us and that you are working for us and with us to be the light in the darkness of our world. And it is in Jesus' most holy and precious name I pray. Amen.